table. Thank you, Brittany. Romans chapter 6 tonight, please. Romans chapter 6. On this 4th of July weekend, sort of. I don't know, is it this weekend or next weekend? I guess it's this weekend. Next weekend's all over, right? So, anyway, this weekend we're focusing on just looking at some liberties and things about that. So, I'm going to try to use that, something that the Lord gave me, I think, will be a blessing to you. Romans chapter 6, let's stand together if you're able. And let me read here, beginning in verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Well, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we're buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And more evidence of salvation there. Yep. For we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Amen. Once you're dead, you're free from the sin, the spiritually speaking, from the power of sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing. Knowing, isn't that a blessing, God? We have a no-so God, amen. A no-so salvation, a no-so book. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. I've got that verse circled in my Bible, amen. Death hath no more dominion over him or us, amen. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God. Now listen, there's no reason a church should ever be dead. There's no reason a church service should ever be a dead funeral service, amen, because we are alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God, as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you. Amen. Glory to God. For you're not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Let me leave off reading there, and I'll try to preach to you tonight a message entitled this, Law and Liberty. Law and Liberty. Okay? Let's pray. Father, we come to you tonight. I thank you, Lord God, for the day you've given us. And Lord, we're in a season in our church, Lord God, where you seem to be just working in our hearts as your people. Lord God, we haven't seen much increase. We haven't seen many souls moving, visitors, families. But Lord, you are certainly working in our hearts and growing us and working in us and around us. Lord, we certainly thank you for the different seasons in life. We know, Lord God, that it's in the valleys that you restore our soul. It's in the valleys, Lord God, by the still waters, Lord God, that you increase our understanding and our wisdom. And Lord, tonight, that's all I want to do is grow us, help us grow closer to you. I want to feed those precious sheep of your flock, Lord God. Please, I pray you'd help me tonight through your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Law and liberty. In God's perfect book throughout the Bible, we see several different laws that we read about. There's the law of Moses. There's the law of God. There's the law of sin. There's the law of death. There's the law of Christ. There's the law of liberty. There's the law of the king. There's the law of the Jews. There's the law of faith. There's the law of our minds. There's the law of righteousness. There's the royal law. There's the Lord's law. There's the law of kindness. There's a lot of law in the Bible. The book of Romans, however, here in what we're reading here tonight, is written for our learning and primarily written to the Jews, the Romans, Jews, about the law of Moses that was given to the Jews. Now, this law was given by God to the Jews through Moses. You understand? The law of Moses, the law that God gave to his people through Moses, it was given because of the transgression of the people. Galatians chapter 3, don't turn there just yet. It says in verse 19, "Wherefore then serveth the law?" Or in other words, what good is the law? It was added because of transgressions till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And in the book of Galatians, the Apostle Paul is helping us understand, telling us that God gave the promise of the gospel seed and the power of the gospel way back in Abraham's day.
Right.
Okay, in Genesis chapter 12 and 13, the promised seed, of course, being Jesus Christ, the one promised seed, but that was back in Genesis before the law ever came into place. There was years, hundreds of years later, until the people of God came out of Egypt, and then God gave them the commandments, what we call the law of Moses, at Mount Sinai there in the desert. So the promise was given way before the law was given.
Right.
Okay, but the law was given because of the transgressions of the people. The law was given, let me put it this way, to impute the sin to the souls of sinful man. Look in Romans chapter 7, this one page next there, verse 13. The law was given to impute sin to the souls of sinful men. Romans 7, verse 13. "Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful." See, the law of God, the commandment of God, made me see what sin was.
Right.
It made me understand and made me realize I am a sinner. The law of God, the commandments of God, made me see I'm guilty. I've broken every one of them.
Yeah.
I'm guilty. That imputed sin unto my life, my soul. Our text here in Romans chapter 6 tells us that believers in Christ, saved and born again, look there in verse 14 back in Romans 6, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law."
Yeah.
Okay? You're not under the law. As a believer in Christ, as a saint born again, washed in the blood of the Lamb of Jesus Christ, I'm no longer under the law of Moses. In other words, what that means, now listen, is simply this. Because think about this. Let me just stop right there before I tell you that. I was never under the law of Moses.
Yeah, that's right.
I've never been a Jew.
Right.
And neither have you.
Right.
Amen. We're not Jews here. This is not a Jewish nation. We're not Jews. We've never been Jewish people by heritage or by choice. But the fact is, the law of Moses was given to the Jews, but it became the law that God used to impute sin to all the world.
Yeah.
So I was never under the law of Moses as a Jew, but I was under the law of God.
Amen.
Okay? And look in Romans chapter 4. To say that I'm no longer under the law simply means this, that sin is no longer imputed to me.
All right.
Okay? Now look at Romans 4. I'm going to read a few scriptures here tonight. Romans 4, verse 1. "What shall we say then? That Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found. For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture?" That's a good question. You always find yourself saying, who cares what we think? Or what saith the Scripture?
Amen.
"Abraham believed God," and notice, "it was counted unto him for righteousness." That means it was imputed to him. It was put on his account. The righteousness of God was made his righteousness because he believed God. "Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted or imputed for righteousness." Now, don't lose me. I know this is a doctrinal message, but listen, you got to be grounded in doctrine. Okay, now look in verse 6. "Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed," verse 8, "is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin." Blessed is the man to whom, in other words, the man that's saved is the man that's blessed,
yeah,
because God no longer imputes sin to that man,
yeah,
because he's no longer under the law.
Yeah.
He's no longer the sin of his heart is no longer imputed to him for unrighteousness. That man is blessed. That man is saved.
That's right.
Okay? That man is saved. Blessed is that man whom the Lord will no longer impute sin unto him. His sins in verse 7 are covered. His iniquities are forgiven in verse 7. And look in chapter 4, verse 15. Because the law worketh wrath. For where no law is, there is no transgression. The law came to work transgression in our hearts. But when salvation came in Romans chapter 4, by faith, not by works, then God imputed righteousness unto us, no longer imputing sin. All the law did was made you a sinner. The law of God, that book, perfect, the perfect law of God, makes us understand that we are guilty. It brings wrath, though, because it makes us realize I'm not okay.
Yeah.
I'm not as good as I thought I was. I'm not Mr. Perfect like I thought I was, full of myself and arrogant and proud. So the law of God came in and sin was imputed to man, but blessed is the man, saved is the man, who God no longer imputes that sin to them. Now he imputes the righteousness of God because he had made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God and through him. So we're no longer under the law means our sin is no longer imputed to us. I'm no longer responsible or accountable for my sin. It's gone. It's covered. It's forgiven. All of it. All of it. Whew, that's a good stuff right there. That the law of God no longer imputes sin to me. My faith in Jesus Christ, now God imputes righteousness unto me, and I'm saved. You can't get that by working, by the way. We know that. We know that. So it simply means, not under the law, simply means that my sin is no longer imputed to me. I'm no longer responsible for the sin that's been forgiven.
Yeah.
It also means I'm no longer under the curse of the law.
Yep.
Which is the condemnation,
yeah,
of sin. Go to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Now this is just some groundwork. I'm getting somewhere. Y'all don't lose me now because I'm just preaching doctrine here. Amen. We need the sound doctrine of God.
Yeah.
Galatians chapter 3 verse 13. I'm going to get to the message here in a minute. Galatians 3 verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. See, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. That the blessing of Abraham, who by faith, remember, God's righteousness was imputed to Abraham because he believed God. That blessing, the salvation of Abraham, might come on the Gentiles. There it is, through Jesus Christ. That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through works. Are y'all not? Through faith, amen. I'm just being facetious there. But I want you to see that the law imputed sin unto me, which also made me a condemned forever sinner, bound and doomed for nothing but a lake of fire. And it was all because of my sinful... The law... Listen, the sin was already in place way back in the Garden of Eden, but the law was brought into place. Moreover, the Bible says in Romans 5, the law entered that the offense might abound. The law came in to make me see how sinful I really was. But where sin abounded, amen, grace did much more abound. See, by the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, placing faith in Christ, then I received the blessing or the salvation of God, which is grace and mercy and forgiveness. I'm no longer under the imputation of sin. I'm no longer under the condemnation of hell. No longer, because I placed my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now go back to Romans chapter 6. So I've never been under the law as a Jew, but I've always been under the law as an old wicked sinner.
Right.
I was born that way, and we all were. But God says now in verse 14 of Romans 6, sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law. Okay? We're no longer under the law, no longer under that condemnation, no longer under that imputation of sin. But, look in verse 14 at the end of this verse. But, notice the wording. Under grace.
Right.
Under grace. Think about that phrase with me for a minute. Under grace. I'm no longer under the condemnation and the curse and the... But listen now. Don't miss the way God... This is perfect Bible. Everything, every word is pure. Every word is right. I'm still under...
Yeah, that's right.
Grace.
Come on. Amen.
I told you the message this morning, tonight, is law and liberty. Okay? Many people confuse not being under the law for being completely free now and at liberty to live life as if I don't, it just doesn't matter. I'm my own God now. I'm saved by the grace of God. I've received His salvation. All my sins are forgiven. All my iniquities are washed away. I'm no longer under the curse. I'm no longer under the condemnation of the law. And now I can just live scot-free. But wait a minute. God says, I'm still under the grace. I'm not on my own.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm not on my own.
Yeah.
Think about the wording, under grace. Liberty from the law is not liberty to live like I want to.
Amen.
Under grace, I'm still under something that God had put in my life. I was under the law because God put that law in my life. God put the law in place. I was born underneath the condemnation of that law. And then God brought His grace into the world, amen, through Jesus Christ. And now I've been saved by the faith. And now, but now I'm under grace.
That's right.
God used the law to bring me to Christ. Now God is using grace, listen, don't miss this, to draw me closer to Christ. To be under something means to be subject to it.
Right.
Okay? To be under something means to be under its authority.
Amen.
Do you see the difference? I'm not just scot-free out here on my own doing. It means I'm accountable to it.
Yeah.
I'm under grace. It means I'm under its authority and it's over me.
Right.
If I'm under it, it's over me. I'm not over anything. I'm still under grace. Now, what does that mean, preacher? What it means is, now that I'm saved, I'm under grace. Number one, I'm under the law of Christ.
Amen.
I'm no longer under the law of God and the law of Moses, which imputes sin, but now I'm under the law of Christ. The Bible says in John 1:17 that the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So Jesus brought grace to the world. Jesus is the grace of God, you understand? And now I'm under the grace. I'm under the law of Christ. Look in Galatians chapter 6. I'm going through this quickly. I want to get to this one last point and we'll go home. Galatians chapter 6. Okay? I don't get the impression that everybody's following me here tonight. I know this is doctrine, and sometimes doctrine can be a little bit, you know, sometimes dry, and it's not as exciting and shouting and all that stuff. But listen, I just want you to understand something, that law and liberty don't mean what this world say they mean.
Amen.
Okay? Law and liberty don't mean what this world... We've got to go to the doctrinal book and guidelines of God to understand that even though I'm not under the law of Moses, I've never been under the law. I've never had to offer up some sheep. I've never had any sheep. I've never had any goats. I've never had any oxen. I've never had any pigeons or turtle doves. I've never been in the tabernacle. I've never been in the temple. I've never had to do any of that.
Right.
Understand? I've never been under that law.
That's right.
But the fact is, I was under the law of sin. I was bound by the law of sin and bondage and captivity to the law of sin and death and the condemnation because of my imputed sins. But listen, God set me free by forgiving me, by cleansing me from all unrighteousness. But that doesn't mean I'm on my own now.
Amen.
That's a foolish gesture. That's a wicked idea. Now I'm under grace though.
Yeah. Amen.
But I'm still under it.
Yep.
Okay? Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. That's written to brethren.
Right.
That's written to believers, and it says to fulfill the law.
Mm-hmm.
But this time, it's the law of Christ. Now, Romans 6 tells me I'm free from the law. I'm no longer under the law. But you got to understand the context. Romans 6 law is talking about the law of God, the law of Moses, the law that imputed sin. This law is now the law of Christ, the law of grace. I'm fulfilling the law still in my life. It's a different set of rules, if you will. It's for a different purpose, but I'm still under the law of Christ.
That's right.
I am to fulfill the law of Christ. I have a responsibility then to the Bible says, bear ye one another's burdens.
Jesus.
I have a responsibility now as a brother, as a sister, as a saved believer in Christ Jesus. I have a responsibility though. I still have a law that's laid out for me, guidelines that God has set for me under His grace to live under the law of Christ. This law of Christ is what still ought to govern our lives. We still have Christ as our example.
Amen.
Now, I preached a message years ago, and I was trying to find that message, and I couldn't find it for the life of me. But I preached a message from this chapter 6, verse 2, entitled, "There's a New Sheriff in Town." There's a new sheriff in town. My family might remember that vaguely. But really, I'm still under the law. It's just a new sheriff, amen? It's a new law. It's no longer condemnation and sin, understand? It's no longer hell. But now it's still a law where I'm not just out here doing my own thing. I'm under the law of Christ because I'm under grace. I am also now, number two, under the law of liberty. The law of liberty. Look in James chapter 1. James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 22. Everybody with me still?
Amen.
James 1, 22. "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass or in a mirror. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But," verse 25, "whoso looketh into the perfect," notice, "law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed."
Amen.
Now look at that. Now wait a minute. Look, I want you to notice the wording here. Verse 23. "If any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer." Verse 25 says, "I'm to be a doer of the work."
Yep.
You see that? The word and the work. What's God saying here is that the law of liberty is, remember, I've been set free. I've been born again. I'm free from the law of sin and death and hell and condemnation. But I'm now living under the law of liberty.
Yeah, that's right.
And the law of liberty is simply this, that Bible.
Amen.
That book. Any man, the Bible says, be not a hearer of the word, but a doer. And those that just look into the Bible and read it and don't do anything different, they're just hearers, not doers.
Right. Right.
And they are breaking the law of liberty.
Right. That's right.
You see, it is indeed a law.
Amen.
It's a strange term, that a phrase, if you will, law and liberty, used in the same context. But think about it. When you understand the law of sin that I talked about, then you understand the law of liberty. I'm born again. I'm saved. I'm in Christ and He's in me. I'm forever forgiven. All our iniquities are purged and cleansed. But understand something. I still have an authority over me, and it's that book.
Amen. Amen. Preacher. That's right. Preach it.
It's that book.
Come on.
And God says, even though I'm saved, and I'm looking into that law of liberty, because after all, the only reason you have any liberty is because of this book.
Yeah.
Because you heard the word of God. You heard the salvation gospel message of Jesus Christ, and you place your faith in Jesus.
Amen.
Faith came by hearing, and hearing came by this precious book.
Yeah.
And now, that's the law of liberty. I'm saved, but that law ought to still govern me, not just hearing it, but doing it.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
Or otherwise, I'm deceiving myself.
Yep.
I'm fooling myself. Not that I'm not saved. No, no, it doesn't say that.
Yeah. Right.
It just says I'm deceiving myself into thinking that I'm okay with God.
Yep.
That I'm right with God. That describes our nation. That describes our world, our country.
Yeah.
Again, on this 4th of July weekend, law and liberty. And you understand, we were under the law and the oppression of England and the British Empire and all of their, I talked about this morning, all of their false doctrine and their oppression and their taxation without representation. It wasn't all about that. It was about that book right there.
Right,
that book right there is why our forefathers said, no more of this. We are going to fight for our liberty because we're going to serve the Lord according to His law.
Amen.
Not the law of England.
Yeah. That's right.
They weren't deceiving themselves. They knew this is the law of liberty. I've been born again. I'm saved. And God's given me a responsibility now to live my life according to this book.
That's right.
The book that brought me salvation is now going to lead me into doing the work of God. When you look into that law of liberty, you're going to find out what God wants from you. How God wants you to live. What God wants you to do. Yes, do. And the work that God has for you to do while you're still on this planet. Are you with me?
Amen.
And the Bible says you're fooling yourself, you're deceiving yourself if you just read the Bible and then go on about your same old ways.
Yeah, come on. That's right. That's right.
Amen. Amen. Come on.
Because you see, dearly beloved, we're under this law of liberty. Because we're under grace. Because we're saved.
That's right.
We're not given freedom to just go live like we want to.
That's right.
That is a lie straight from hell.
Amen.
Come on, man.
Hell.
Amen.
Straight from hell.
Yeah, that's right.
That's ridiculous. That's evil. It's heresy.
Amen.
I'm not under the law. You hear people sing, free from the law. But wait a minute. Okay, that doesn't mean you're free to live in filthy sin.
Amen.
But that's what they think.
Come on, preach it.
That's what they think.
That's right. Amen. Yeah.
No, you're still under the grace.
Yep.
In other words, grace is still over you. In other words, you still have the law of Christ to live by. You still have the law of liberty to govern your life. This precious book. And boy, I like that. I need some authority. I need some direction. I need God's counsel. I need His direction. I need His guidance. I need Him to tell me what to do, Lord, because I'm an idiot. And you can say amen all you want. That's right. I am. I'm an idiot. I'm no longer under the law, but now I have a greater responsibility.
Yeah, come on.
You understand? The only responsibility I had towards this book before I got saved was get saved.
Amen.
Yep. Yep.
You're lost. You're convicted of sin. You're condemned to hell. Get born again. You must be born again. You must be born. That's the only thing I was responsible for. You must be born again. You must be. That's all that God wanted me to know before I got saved.
That's right. Amen. That's right.
But now.
No.
Every page.
Amen.
Every page.
Yeah, amen.
God didn't expect me to do anything until I got saved except get on my knees and humble myself and let Him be exalted and be born again. But now, every page.
That's right,
man. What? Yeah, people who talk about, well, you know, under the law they tithe 10%, but we're living under grace. So we don't have to tithe 10%. So I'm just going to give God a nickel. See, that is absolute foolishness.
That's right. That's right.
We are now more responsible to God because we're His children. We are bought with a price.
Yes. Yep.
You don't have the choice to just do what you want to do.
That's right.
You don't.
Amen.
You're now under grace. You're now under the perfect law of liberty. You've been given direction by God what the work is that He has for you to do.
Amen.
See, America, a great nation, They've turned their backs on this law of liberty. Long time ago, and more, every generation, it gets worse. It gets worse. Before I was saved, I couldn't do this. I couldn't perform the law of liberty. I may have tried, and I did, but I failed miserably over and over again. All I did was frustrate myself. I deceived myself, and I knew. And all I ended up with was with frustration, aggravation, and a desperation in my soul. But now I know. Listen, I have now. I'm saved. I have the Spirit of God enabling me to keep His law.
Yeah.
The law of grace, the law of Christ, the law of liberty. I'm still under God's law. But again, it's nothing to, it's not bondage. That's what you're going to hear.
Yeah, come on.
I'm free from all that bondage of sin. I'm free from all that bondage of the law. Now I can go sin and not worry about it. Where in God's name do they get that ridiculous garbage?
Yeah,
in their own wicked hearts?
That's right.
It's ridiculous. It's foolishness. It's heresy. It's blasphemy. I'm under the law of Christ. I'm under grace. I'm under the law of liberty because I'm under grace. I'm under James chapter 2 there. Well, you're already there. Look in James chapter 2. I'm also under now the royal law. Now it's going to get a little more personal. Amen. A little more personal. The royal law. James chapter 2 verse 8. Of course, James is written to believers, amen. If you fulfill the royal law, according to the what? The scripture. Because that's the royal law is part of the law of liberty. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You do well. But if you have respect to persons, you commit sin. And are convinced of the law as transgressors. The royal law. What's the royal law, preacher? The royal law is the golden rule. And Matthew 7:12 says, therefore all things whatsoever ye would that men should do unto you, do ye also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Look what it says here in verse 8. The royal law is love thy neighbor as thyself. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you, what we call the golden rule. Matthew 7:12, James chapter 2, verse 8. So now listen to me now. Now, yes, I'm under grace. I'm no longer condemned. I have been imputed righteousness of God. But now I'm under the law of Christ to bear other people's burdens, which goes right along with the law of liberty, which goes right along with the royal law of loving my neighbor as myself. See, I'm still obliged and obligated and mandated and quite frankly, just flat out commanded to love my neighbor as myself.
Amen.
Now, this is seemingly simple, I understand, but yet it's not always as simple as it may seem. Let me just put it that way. I have an obligation under grace, like we talked about last Sunday night. God's mercy extended to me. Now I'm under grace. I've been given His grace. It made me free from the curse. But now I have an obligation, dearly beloved, to tell others. To tell others. To love them enough to tell them about this grace.
Amen.
To love them enough to tell them about the mercy. To love them enough to tell them about the condemnation of sin. However, there's a salvation available to you through faith in Jesus Christ.
Yeah, amen.
See, I am obligated. God says, if I don't keep this royal law, I am committing, what's that verse say in verse 9? Verse 9 says something about S-I-N. You commit sin. So if I pick and choose who I'm going to witness to, if I pick and choose who I'm going to love, now obviously I'm not going to go run with them, you understand, but I'm going to love them enough to want them to be saved. I'm going to love them enough to tell them about the grace and the mercy and the salvation of a great God in heaven. God says, I'm under this royal law now that I'm saved.
Yeah,
God didn't expect you to be a witness before you were saved, Chris.
Right.
What are you going to tell them?
Yeah.
You need to get saved. I'm not saved, but you need to get saved. No, God doesn't expect that, foolish.
Right.
But once you get born again, God says, okay, now you're under grace.
Yep.
Amen.
You're under grace. Now take that grace And love your neighbor as yourself. Wow. What you have today is you have a world full of people who, again, profess that they know God, claim to be born again. And honestly, brothers, sisters, I hope they are.
Amen.
I mean, I don't want anybody to go to hell.
All right.
I'd be a dummy, an idiot to even... I mean, I don't want anybody to go to hell. I hope they're saved.
Amen.
But yet... When they take this road of liberty, and now I'm not under the law, I'm at liberty to live my life as I please, they forget about the fact that I'm still obligated by God to take this grace and this message of salvation to my neighbors,
Amen.
To those around me.
Amen.
God says if I don't do it, I'm committing sin.
Right. Right.
It's a transgression of the royal law. It's strong stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why we have Bible-believing so-called churches today who preach their gospel, but yet that nobody is soul winning. Nobody's knocking doors. Nobody is sacrificing their time or their effort. And if you're physically unable, I'm not talking to you, understand, but there's just not a burden in people's hearts anymore for their neighbors, for their souls, for their salvation. But God, listen, God doesn't leave that up to me. He says, you're under a royal law. And if you don't commit or fulfill that law, you're in sin.
That's right. Amen.
That's sobering.
Amen.
Now that I'm under grace, I still got some direction given to me by God.
Yeah.
I'm under the law of Christ to bear one another's burdens, my brothers and my sisters, to be faithful to the house of God, to love, pray for my brothers and sisters. I'm under the law of liberty. Listen, that means I'm under this book still.
Yeah.
What this book says, I've got to do the work that this book gives me to do, which is the royal law of loving my neighbor as myself and being a witness for God. See, I'm not... all of this boils down to this last point that I was trying to get to. Look in 1 Peter chapter 4. Just one book over to the right. 1 Peter chapter 4. And you might get out early tonight. Amen? I'm glad you didn't say amen right there. Thank you. Thank you for loving me anyway. 1 Peter 4. Verse 8. And above all things... have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging, as every man hath received the gift, that's the gift of salvation, even so minister the same one to another, notice, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. When I received the grace of God, the gift of God of salvation, I received His grace, His mercy. I was born again. I was freed from that condemnation of sin and the law. God saved me. But then He says, now look, I'm to be a good steward of that grace. All of this boils down, all of this is basically rooted in this principle here. The grace of God extended to me at salvation is now, I am now responsible as a manager, a steward of that grace, to minister the same one to another. Now, I talked about loving your neighbor as yourself. But here in 1 Peter, this is more so talking about your brother. I don't need to witness to Brother Josh and Brother Chris and Samuel, or do I? Okay. Anyway, but I do need to minister grace. Now, what does all that mean? Well, all that means is the same way that God ministered His grace to me, I'm now supposed to minister that same grace to my brothers. Look in verse 8. Above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. That's not among the lost people of the world. That's among yourselves.
Yep.
Charity is nothing more than the almighty, all-powerful, perfect and infinite love of God. Perfect and pure in every way. I'm supposed to minister I'm under grace now, remember. I'm under now the law of Christ and the law of liberty and the law of the royal law to be, now listen, to be a steward of that grace. But I cannot overlook the fact that it applies to me and how I treat my brethren. This is really what I was trying to get to the whole message, okay? This was the bottom line. You and me have absolutely no right, and we certainly will answer to God, we have no right to ever mistreat, to ever scoff, scorn, gossip, backstab another brother.
That's right.
Now, I don't know why God gave me this message, but I just want us all to listen tonight. God made me a steward of this grace. It's not mine. He gave it to me. I'm simply managing it now. It's His grace He's given to me. I'm saved, but now I'm to take that. The word manifold means multiple different aspects. Multiple, many different folds. If you think about a paper mache or something where, you know, they fold this over, fold that over, fold this over, fold that over, fold this over, and then out comes a bear or airplane. You know, multiple folds. Well, there's multiple folds to the grace of God. There's many folds to the grace of God. In other words, many different things are going to happen to us in our lives. Many different people are going to come into our lives. Many different personalities are going to come across our paths. And you and me, as brothers and sisters in Christ, in the household of God, the believers, we have got to learn that no matter what I do or how you treat me or how I treat you, my response has got to be the manifold grace of God. Fervent charity. Fervent has the connotation, it means red hot, boiling. It means just on fire charity. Just ready to go. You know, when your eggs, I hope you do know how to boil eggs, right? Some people, I don't think they know how to boil eggs. Brittany, you know how to boil eggs? Anyway, you don't know how to boil eggs. Anyway, let's move on. When you put eggs into water and you turn on and it boils, okay? And then, well, once that water's going full bore, boiling, you know, your eggs are pretty much ready. At least, unless you want them hard boiled. Anyway, let's move on here. But all I'm saying is this: listen, fervent charity means it's always ready. It's always extended to everybody among my brethren. Now, this is part of my responsibility as a Christian. This is part of my obligation under the law of Christ, remember, to bear one another's burdens. The royal law, to love your neighbor as yourself. Yes, unbelievers, yes, witnessing, but don't forget, these are my neighbors. And yes, the law, the royal law, the law of liberty, the law of Christ, it all boils down to this. I'm to be a steward of this grace now. This manifold grace. I'm under the law of stewardship, if you will, of this grace. After salvation, I'm accountable to God. I'm accountable to Christ to minister this gift of grace one to another, to each other. Okay? Fervent charity, that's what this grace is. That's how it is that God saved us. Because of charity. Now understand, we know it's mercy, but that mercy brought that love into our lives. The love, God so loved the world. Now look then, in the same chapter, 1 Peter chapter 4, look in verse 1. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God.
Amen.
Guys, listen. Understand something. What God's saying here is he's beginning this chapter by saying, this is the will of God. I am always bound and obligated to fulfill and live in the will of God.
Amen.
And part of God's will for me as a believer is to have fervent charity towards my brethren.
That's right.
That's why a good, healthy church is such an incredible blessing to the church.
Amen.
Because it's where you want to be.
Right.
It's where you know you're safe. It's where you know you're accepted in the Beloved. It's where you know that you will have a good fellowship. It's where you know you can relate to each other. It's where you're bearing one another's burdens. It's where you're weeping together. It's where you're laughing together. It's where you're amening together. It's where you're singing together. It's where you're praying together. It's because of that fervent charity. Listen, that's the will of God for those of us who have been saved. We're no longer under the curse of the law, but we are under grace. And part of that is now to have fervent charity one to another.
Amen.
It's the will of God. I'm bound. I can never be right with God if I'm out of His will.
That's right.
Never. My brethren are suffering. Like Jesus said, He suffered. Then, when they're suffering, I'm suffering. I minister grace to them. My brethren sometimes are thought of as strange. Look in verse 3. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles. Yeah, when you were unsaved, that's what you did. You lived in the will of the Gentiles, the will of the world. When we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries. Wherein, verse 4, they, the unsaved, they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Now that you're saved, the things that you used to do, you don't do them anymore. You understand I'm saved, but now they think you're strange.
Yeah,
that's right.
Of course, I've said this before, but it doesn't take a rocket scientist, it doesn't take a brain surgeon to see that I'm not the strange one. we're not the strange ones.
All right.
But understand something. But that old world beats you up.
Oh, yeah.
It beats you up day after day. Go to work, go to school, walk around Walmart even. It beats you up. You feel like you're strange because you're not doing the will of the Gentiles.
Thank you, Lord.
You're not living in that lasciviousness anymore, and the lust and the flesh and controlled by all of that foolishness. But understand something. We all are in the same boat.
That's right.
Yep.
And so therefore, when we come into the house of God, there ought never be anyone that makes